Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is an exciting time to be a Cubs fan and exciting time to be a Cubs baseball player.
Cubs win! Gordon Whittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse. Cubs win!
Chicago Cubs. Yeah.
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Whittenmeyer.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Gordon Whittenmeyer is the baseball man, the Cubs man for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Well, Gordon, here it is, buddy. We've been waiting, and finally it is upon us.
Morning, Gordon.
Good morning, guys. Is this a great time to be in a studio?
It's a great time to be alive. It's always a great time to be alive because the alternative would be pretty depressing.
Oh, that's true.
Well, yeah. Gordon, I wanted to ask you about what you wrote about this morning because, you know, I think you could make the argument as you do that it's division title or bust for the Cubs. And yet you look at the Nationals and their schedule and you think they've got a pretty tough road. And the Brewers are winning and they are hot and but they don't have Yelich and you wonder when they will maybe come back to earth. Do you really still feel like it's division or bust for the Cubs in terms of the playoffs?
I do. I mean, I think there's one scenario where everybody could just stay in the mud wrestling scrum. These four teams are in right now at first three spots and we just get down to the last couple of days and we're in a similar place to what we are now. And then you're looking at a wild card fight. But really, more likely, these seven games against the Cardinals among the last ten are going to dictate everything. I mean, look, if they do well against them, let's say 5-2, that would win 3 out of 4 here, 2 out of 3 the final weekend. You go 5-2 against them, they catch them, they tie them. And that's a pretty good stretch. Then you got the Pirates in between. You figure you win at least two of those games. And really, the way the Pirates looked last time we saw them, it'd probably be an utter failure if you don't sweep. So you're winning 7 or 8 of the remaining 10 in that scenario. And if that's the case, you know you've probably passed the Cardinals. And then it's just a matter of. Are the Brewers keeping pace at the top of the division? If you don't, if it goes the other direction, good luck keeping up with the Brewers because the Brewers have a really easy schedule the rest of the way. They don't have the best team they play down the stretch is the Reds for three games. And the Reds are, what, 8-9 games under 500?
Well, they're no good. They can never beat the Cubs 2 out of 3.
Yeah, they can't. They can't beat a good
wait
team.
Wait a second. Wow.
But if the the Brewers, again, the Brewers could just go the other way. They could for all kinds of reasons. But one of the reasons that the Brewers are playing so well since Yelich went down, it has less to do with covering for Yelich than it does with the fact they've got so many more options in their bullpen and bench now with September. They can mix and match now. The pitching staff that, got pretty wiped out by last year's deep playoff run and seemed to have kind of a hangover effect this year has seemed to get a little bit fresher looking in recent days since Yelich went down. So against all these terrible teams, I mean, geez, they're going to be facing, if they get early leads, they're going to be facing, crap pitchers in the late innings. And extending those leads or being in a position to, find weak spots and score big late. And at any rate, if the Cubs don't, they're either going to take care of the Cardinals and catch them, or the Cardinals are going to take care of them and they'll get eliminated. I mean, that's the those are the likeliest scenarios.
Addison Russell is eligible to return today, right? So, will he? I mean, I guess there's a bunch of questions with Addison Russell. You wrote about the $100,000 that it costs him by going into concussion protocol and the idea that the team held that money back. My read on that, Gordon, and I know you don't want to hear it, my read on that is that he's not going to be around here, and they don't care whether he feels bad about, you know, 3.7, he's not worth that. 3.8, okay, they took $100,000 off him. It's still, he's not worth that. I mean, I don't know that the idea that they take money from him means that they're being tight-fisted, or if it means that, you know, they don't care about keeping him happy because he's gone.
I think that the likelihood of him being gone is very, very high.
Right.
It probably should have happened a year ago. But the move isn't so much about necessarily how Russell's going to react to it. Although they set themselves, I mean, it's such an unusual move this time of year. I mean, it's only done for one reason, and the transparency is so extreme that they have set themselves up for a grievance that, you know, they may lose. But regardless of any of that, yeah, who cares, right, about the individual, especially that one. But, you know, I don't care if we're talking about, A, the worst human being in the history of baseball, or B, a guy that is worth so little, it's irrelevant what he thinks about the move. Other players see this, and how you treat other players matters in terms of you know, your culture, what other teams think of you. I mean, you negotiated that contract. This part of it is a matter of, you know, good faith. I mean, guy got hit in the head. I mean, the only reason that you even have the move to make is that the guy got hit in the head, so you leveraged it for $100,000. I mean, that's not a good look. And they should have just let it ride. I mean, teams probably, there's probably more teams out there that look at every dollar and kind of the economics of what they do in a more precise way now than they ever have. And it's, everything's just about the numbers. But it's still rare this time of year to see, under circumstances like these, moves made like that. We saw Kimbrel went on the IL when they didn't have to put him on the IL because there was a roster advantage. You were able to get David Bodie back because there was a 10-day requirement for him to stay down once he got sent out on August 31st, unless there was an IL move. But in this case, the only advantage is it's just a money thing, and you don't see that very often. And again, you negotiated that contract in good faith, and the only reason you're able to take money off of the top of that is because the guy got hit in the head.
Valid points, solid reporting. He's not a sympathetic figure, though, Gordon. He's a hard guy for people to look at.
Okay,
nobody's going to feel sorry for Addison Russell.
Who's saying feel sorry for Addison Russell?
Well, I think that the suggestion that they kept the $100,000 from him, I mean, the people are going
to
look
there. There is a larger picture to this.
Yes, there is.
And that's why it's worth paying attention to.
No question about it. And the point about the players is a very good one. The bottom line is, when he is ready to come back, if they do, you know, bring him back for the final 10 games or so, what role does he play? Because you can't remove Nico Horner from the lineup, can you?
They've already said they're not going to. Originally, the idea was, if Nico's holding his own, then maybe you slide him around over to second when you're not playing Zobrist, or maybe even put him in the outfield where he's got some experience from this year. Now they're saying, no, you know, don't give him anything extra to think about. He's kind of in a comfort zone now. He's doing a really nice job over there. As long as that's the case, why mess with it? Just leave him there. So Russell comes back, and his role is what it was at other points in this season. He'll be a platoon guy at second and a late-inning defensive guy, assuming that he's the same player he was before he got hit.
So Kimbrel comes back, and obviously you're going to have to pitch him. But where do you pitch him? Does he immediately become the closer?
He goes right back in. If he's ready to pitch,
okay.
He goes right back into that role. I mean, he's still a seven-time All-Star in that role with more experience there than anybody else has. Now, you may, I mean, again, this is this time of year, every out in every game is magnified. So there might be, I couldn't even tell you what that would be right now, but there might be a specific matchup scenario that you pay attention to, or there might be a specific guy on a specific day you like more. But he's going to be the first closer option the first day he's available. And barring, you know, some kind of meltdown or command issues out of the chute, then he'll stay there.
Gordon, what was your view of the move by Joe Maddon to remove John Lester last night when he did?
I thought it was pretty consistent. And I also thought, you know, as that game built to that point, I kept thinking they're going to eventually get to mailing. And at some point here, there's going to be maybe a three-run lead, and then Lester's going to be out of there in probably no more than six innings. This is the pitcher he's been. You know, he's walked a much finer line this year, even than last year when he was walking a fine line with some of his stuff and some of his starts. So from a performance standpoint, I wasn't really surprised because, you know, he puts a couple guys on. It's the middle of the order, and they could get away from you real fast, and all of a sudden, if you're trailing by two, and the one thing that the Reds have had all year long, when the Cubs have seen them anyway, they've got guys in the late innings that they can throw at you and close a lead out, especially their ninth inning guy. So you needed to keep that game right where it was and turn it. You know, you needed a lead. You couldn't be playing from behind late under the circumstances. And again, this time of year, you got so many arms out there. You've got so many matchups, and they've gone over all these before the game. The manager, the pitching coach, the infrastructure guys, the front office, and they know where they want to deploy them. So I understood at the time. I didn't even look at the pitch counts at the time. This was not about whether he could keep going or not. This was about performance and what you anticipated coming.
Mm-hmm. Any feel for what's going to happen in this series?
No idea. I mean, you're looking at they got their best pitcher. The Cubs have their best pitcher at Wrigley Field on a mound in Kyle Hendricks, and maybe their best big game pitcher right now. But on the other side, you've got Flaherty opening up the series, and who's been one of the best, if not the best, starter in baseball, or at least the National League, since the All-Star break. And he's always been tough against Cubs. So, I don't know. I really don't know. They're 6-0 against him at Wrigley, though. I would expect really good competitive tight games in these four, and and then if that's the case, you know, you figure the greatest likelihood is probably a split, which they really can't afford. But if they were to get three out of four, that makes those last three. I mean, obviously really interesting, but also, you know, playing a good team on the road at St. Louis with everything on the line. They haven't played well for the most part there this year. And, I mean, it puts so much weight on these next four games.
No doubt. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Gordon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.